I have a special guest with me via computer. Patrick Kreckelberg is with us from the hinterlands up somewhere in the woods.
That's right.
Is that where are you exactly?
Up the Drummond Grade.
Up the Drummond Grade, yes.
Yeah.
Most Two Harborites know where that is.
That's right.
It first came to our attention because someone associated with the radio heard your podcast, and obviously you're a family that's doing some very interesting things way up there on the Drummond Grade. So first, let's talk a little bit about you do product development of music and audio. What does that mean? Like, what do you do?
Yeah. So originally I studied electrical engineering and did a few different things, but had always been a musician playing in punk bands and things like that. Had no intention of bringing those two things together. And I started doing, focusing independently on product development about 10 years ago, and was working like in the pet industry and some like medical device things and like that, where they're interesting, but they're not like completely in line with what I like to do creatively in my free time.
I like to play
and do audio. And I met somebody out at a, Apple has this developer conference every June, and originally it was in San Francisco, and I'll just go there every year. And another guy from the area said, "Hey, you have to meet my friend. He's from Minneapolis. He, you know, we should hang out." So I met this guy, and we got into music stuff. And he had been working for a few different music related companies doing that kind of thing. And eventually they were kind of winding down their company, which was called Audiophile. And we were working together on some different projects for like Rode microphones in Australia and a few other companies. And we figured out a way to merge that company into the existing company that I already had. So that was back in 2017. And music related product development has been my primary focus since then. And so what that means is like audio interfaces, guitar related products like pedals, anywhere. I mean, there's so many aspects of audio and music that are technology related now that have a little microprocessor in them that, you know, run an embedded operating system and communicate with Macs and PCs, and all of that interests me. And it all relates back to so much in electrical engineering is about signals and handling signals and, you know, modifying them and recording them and compressing them and like that. And that's true whether you're talking about a suspension on an automobile, or, you know, the way a mast moves back and forth on a sailboat, or a signal in a wire going from a microphone to an audio interface. So that's how I came into it. And it's been kind of fun because it was completely by surprise that the combination of kind of those activities, you know, came together as a way to make a living.
Right. Wow. I mean, I have to admit, some of what you're saying is Greek to me, but I know how big it is in the world. And it's just really fun to hear about someone really sort of able to do this and to do it from the North Shore. So what brought you to the hinterland, the North Woods, to do this, and among other things?
Yeah. So my wife and I both grew up in the suburbs of St. Paul, and we lived down in the southeast corner of the cities. And, you know, I had, at the time we got married, I had a normal job and was doing the regular suburban thing. And, you know, eventually kind of burned out on that and got the job I had at the time. In my mind, it was like, well, I'll do this for a little bit because, you know, grownups are supposed to have things like health insurance and, you know, be responsible in case things happen, you know.
Right.
You know, before that I had done like wedding photography and all these different other kinds of things where we were able to work together, and it was a lot more kind of, I don't know, free form. And I thought like, now's the time that, you know, you kind of do an adult thing and go and work in a cubicle.
Right, right.
You know, and like 9 years went by in that, and kind of dawned on me like, I wasn't going to do this forever. I was going to, you know, kind of stabilize my brain and, you know, get into a responsible mode and then figure out a way to be on my own again. And so I left that job. And at the time my wife was pregnant with our child number 4. And, you know, so, you know, for a normal person, it wasn't like the most responsible time to leave your job and,
right,
and, you know, cash out your PTO and, you know, figure out what's next. But I had met with a college friend about a project that is like it's a dog collar that uses GPS instead of burying wire, like a invisible fence, for us to work together on. And and one other thing that I had planned, and I thought, well, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to do this engineering thing, this independent, you know, consulting thing.
Yeah.
And so that was 2013, and it developed into doing that product development stuff as a business and hiring people and building up a company, with the objective being, well, I'm a person who wants to live wherever I want to live and do what, you know, have my own schedule and determine that. If I'm going to work with other people, I need to extend that same freedom to them. And, you know, it seems totally like old news nowadays that people would work remotely or virtually or, you know,
yeah,
distributed in that fashion. But it, believe it or not, in technology field in 2013, that was kind of like hard for people to understand a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like, you know, who do you think you are that you can just be off there somewhere doing your thing?
And, right. You were ahead of the curve for sure.
Yeah, I wanted to do it, and I wanted to bring on other people that were interested in that were kind of like, you know, square pegs, I guess, and that had unique things to offer. So then a few years go by, and another kind of moment of revelation for me was like, well, we could live anywhere. We could do, you know, we're homeschooling the kids already.
Yeah.
What do we really want to do? We don't, you know, living in the city is great, but maybe there's something else that we think would be fulfilling. And at that time, there were a lot of, like, you know, YouTube families that were doing homesteading and doing it. And actually, the Venture North PBS program was very inspiring to us, because there was a family up in Finland that was
right,
all hanging out together and doing their thing. And
a family that has, I would say, really transformed the entire area over decades, you know, of investment in the land and the people there.
Yeah. And so Karen Sunderman was very inspiring to see, like, all these different kind of people that I could connect with, and made sense to me why they were doing that. And I thought, well, that seems like what I'm supposed to do and what we're supposed to do. And that seems like a lifestyle that resonates more with who we are, and growing food and providing our own water and figuring out all of those things and figuring out energy and all that. And so that was like a 2-year long journey of, well, where would that be? And how much risk do we want to take on? Do we want to, you know, find some raw land where you might, you know, build a road and then all of a sudden find that you can't drill a well there or whatever,
right?
And, you know, and looking at different places. And so we ended up kind of stumbling upon this area where originally Lake Connections had done the fiber up the road here. And, you know, it's like, well, I could actually have a better connection there than I did in the city, like, you know?
Yeah. And that's so really interesting to hear, because, you know, that Lake Connections fiber optic, you know, like, that has been a huge issue here for years and years and years and years. And it's interesting to hear a person talk about the direct benefits of, I mean, you would not be here without that.
Yeah. And I totally understand both sides of it, you know, but for us, it was a make or break thing. And certainly, you know, there's Starlink and there's satellites and all these different things, but having a guaranteed, reliable, fast connection made it, you know, I could come up here and maybe telecommute with some full-time job, but owning a business, and actually we have business infrastructure here that people in other countries are depending on being online, we have never had a problem. So, you know, we have power outages very, very rarely, but not that frequently, and battery backup is good enough for that. So, yes, it's completely the reason that we can be here at all, you know, and we're up here paying taxes and going to restaurants and doing the activities of participating in the community. So yes, it is the reason we're here.
Yeah, and now you have, tell us a little bit about your family and how you manage the homeschooling lifestyle.
Yeah, so we have 4 kids here. Youngest is 9, oldest is 16. And they're at varying levels of interest in being in such a remote location.
Sure.
Which I can completely understand, because I, you know, sometimes you feel stir crazy as a teenager. But on the other hand, you know, sometimes you really want to be in a place where you can walk for miles and not interact with another person and just feel a sense of peace.
You definitely have the night sky too, I'll add.
yeah. So I do completely get both sides of that. But the real way that we manage it is because we have a separate building for business than we have for regular life.
Yes. And
that was part of what we came here for, was to not have a ton of space, but to have just a little bit of physical separation so that when I go in for lunch, we're all together and we're eating lunch. When, you know, we eat lunch and dinner every day together as a family. And so we're effectively like together 24 hours a day, every day, all the time, which is not very common for families nowadays,
especially
for the spread of ages that we have. But
you have done some traveling as well, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And so because, you know, we want to also expose them to cities and museums and interesting artistic things and historical things and like that, we also do travel a good part of the year for at least a few months to go to places where we can see, you know, Civil War sites. And we like to spend a lot of time in Nashville, and we've been to all through the desert in California and the far southeast and all of that in the mountains and national parks, so that they see kind of the opposite end of, you know, the complete solitude that we have here, to go into a totally urban environment and see, well, what is that like? And or to be on the beach and see what that is like, so that they still have some connection with, you know, a really busy location or a really crazy location, just to see, to get that breadth of understanding.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much, Patrick, for being with us this morning. There are, you know, one thing that we learned when we were bringing up our children is there are just many good ways to raise a family. And there's really not a single good way. And so it's really fun to hear about one good way. It seems like you're doing wonderful things. And is there anything more you want to leave us with as far as your business? Like, is there a website people can learn more about what you do, or products, or is that more just something you're not dealing directly with the public?
Well, the main business is Krekeltronics.com. If anybody wants to look at that, that's more like the main vehicle. And
okay.
And we're trying to do things with land conservation and like passive house construction and sustainable technology and things like that.
And but tell us again that Krekeltronics, is that what you said?
Krekeltronics.com.
Okay.
And the audio thing is just audiophile.engineering. And we do have audio-related applications that we sell for the Mac and iOS platforms.
Great. And then just as a quick note, we'll be playing a little. You did a little fun thing with your kids over the holidays that found its way to the radio station. What was
That's
that
right.
again?
So every Christmas time, we do a creative project together. And every year, we kind of try to take our angle on the past year. And the objective is to just kind of bring some peace into the world, and rather than sending a paper card in the mail, to just try to bring about some peace and simple joy. And to us this year, it just seemed like the most simple way to approach that would be to go back to the days of just audio and everyone just kind of crowding around the radio and listening to a story and invoking that theater of the mind where you think about, you know, how is this character like somebody I know? Or what might this interaction have looked like? Or what did the inside of a train car look like in before 1920, and what stories would have come about in such an environment.
Wonderful. Well, we'll hear it in a second. Thank you so much, Patrick.
Awesome. Thank you.
Good luck with your winter.
Thank you so much.
All right. You take care. Bye-bye. That was Patrick Krekelberg from his home way up the Drummond Grade. And in just a moment, we'll hear a little snippet from this sort of radio bit that he just told us about. So stay tuned for that.
Oh, Mother, look. Look at all of this sparkling white snow. It's just perfect for Christmas.
Yes, it's wonderful. Now hurry up. Our train is about to depart. We must hurry, darling.
We don't want to miss our train. Your uncle just arrived back from the war, and everyone from the family will be there tonight to surprise him for Christmas. He will be thrilled to see us. I'm so glad this new line through the mountain pass can take us there so quickly. What a stupendous engineering achievement.
Yes, what a marvelous thing indeed.
Excuse me. Is this the train to Pineville? I have to make it there by tonight. There was an explosion at the mine, and they called for more nurses. Not many could come, being at Christmas and all, so I need to make it there. They desperately need me in the field hospital. We're headed to Pineville, too. Yes, our first great-grandchild is about to arrive. Oh, and they had such a hard time with it all, too. They were traveling back home for Christmas, but they stopped to rest off, and they said there was no room at the inn, so they had to keep going. I just know she's going to have that baby tonight. Wouldn't that just be the most wonderful Christmas gift? Right, Harold?
What? What did you say? A Christmas.